Hagavas, or new Hargashas, or new feelings. I just want to maybe share something that I was reflecting on just really today, in just the last few minutes. And I encourage people over the course of not tonight, but in the future, to share any reflections on the same topic as well. Seeing that it's Adar, it's a Mile B'dichusa. Whenever we have a shir, you put this thing up here, I feel like I'm getting attacked. Like, it's like, you know. Anyway, okay, so go, you know.
It's mostly safe.
War of the Worlds type of thing. It's going to, okay, anyway, it's mostly safe.
If it starts moving,
I'll just sort of move backwards and then, okay. Hi, Jeff, how are you? There's a very, very famous sheet of the Zohar. It's probably an idea or at least a statement, a comment most people have heard before, but probably they'll know that it comes from the Zohar. Namely, the Hashva'ah, the equation of Purim ki Yom Kippurim. That Purim is like Yom Kippur. And the Zohar does not elaborate on what he means by Purim ki Yom Kippurim. And we're sort of left wondering of what exactly was the Zohar? I won't get into anything controversial, but whoever the Zohar was exactly, or what exactly, the Mechaber of the Zohar, or what exactly does he mean by the statement of Purim ki Yom HaKippurim? And unless, if you tell me that your Purim and your Purim Suda feels like Yom Kippur, you know, thanks but no thanks. I'll go to the guy next door. I have some recollection of Rabbi Stalman dressing in a kilt a few years ago and bagpipes, and so I'll go to that house. I'm not going to go to the house where you walk in and it feels like, you know, the walls are shaking by people screaming Hashem Hu Elokim. And so what does it mean, sort of 2 days that at least in face value would appear to be so antithetical to each other? Purim Yom Kippurim. How do we understand that? And that's an idea which is discussed by many of the Mefarshim. And it's a very, very beautiful piece by Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner discusses this in Pachad Yitzchak, in Simon Tess. But there's an explanation by the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that this really is based on an idea from the Gemara in Pesachim and the Gemara in Beitzah. Namely, that there's an idea called, on every single Chag, there's a principle called Chatzi Lashem v'Chatzi Lachem. Part of the Chag is for God, part of the Chag is for you. That applies to Shabbos as well. But because of that position on Shabbos, that's why we have davening, then lunch, davening, then a meal, davening, then a meal, because Chatzi Lashem v'Chatzi Lachem, it applies to Shavuos, even though the Gemara felt it might not. It applies to everything. That you can't fast on a yontiv. Everything has to be Chatzi Lashem v'Chatzi Lachem. And the 2 days that would appear to not be in sync with that concept of Chatzi Lashem v'Chatzi Lachem is Purim, because Purim feels like it's totally Kulo Lachem, totally for you, totally a day of celebration. And Yom Kippur, that feels like a day of Kulo Lashem. And those 2 days only perhaps have one element, either Lashem or Lachem. And therefore, when you're, to some degree, you're Mitzare, if you join those 2 days together, that's a Purim Ki Yom HaKippurim. The two elements, these two Chagim, that only have the element, this is the way the Vilna Gaon explains, of Lashem and Lachem, that we say the 2 days are sort of taken together in tandem, and therefore Purim and Yom HaKippurim together fulfill the Gemara's directive that the Chagim have to be Chatzi Lashem v'Chatzi Lachem. And of course, the way we'd understand that Vilna Gaon is potent with meaning, but of course we understand the fact that just to live life as a Yom Kippur Jew, and that perhaps there are Jews that their greatest environment, and I sometimes feel this about even people in our shul, it's very touching, is Yom Kippur. They're their natural element in Yom Kippur. And by the way, Rav Soloveitchik used to describe himself this way. Speaking about homes you probably don't want to go to on Purim, you know, Russell Vachik Suda probably was not the place where people are running around with like a lampshade on their head. You know, Russell Vachik was probably most comfortable in Yom Kippur. But the truth is, if a person only lives in the tipus, in the gestalt of a Yom Kippur Jew, they're really missing half the boat. And there are a lot of other people, probably more people, their natural environment is with a lampshade on their head on Purim. And of course, that person can only do that, but they can't experience the sort of the religious depth, the religious intensity of a Yom Kippur. They're also missing out. And therefore, what the Zohar is telling us is that Purim Ki Yom Kippurim, a person has to integrate both piece of their personality, to be a Purim Jew, to be a Yom Kippurim Jew, and only then can we fully appreciate the full extent of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Ad Kan, that's probably what the Pashup Pshat in the Vilna Gaon explaining the Zohar. The truth is, this idea, though, of Purim Ki Yom Kippurim reflects itself in other places as well. What's the other commonality? What's the other similarity between Purim and Yom Kippurim? So, of course, Matan Torah. We know the Gemara tells us, Masechta Shabbos and Daf Peches Med Aleph, that Yom Kippurim and Purim really are linked by Kabbalah HaTorah. Yom Kippurim was a day of accepting the Torah, and that was done, what's the term that you would think of by Yom Kippurim? If you have to think of one word of Kabbalah HaTorah by Yom Kippur, that word would probably be one of awe, trepidation, right? Fear, yira. That was the concept of Kofol of Harkagigis. That was the Kolos of Rakim. That was the image of a certain accepting the Torah out of awe, out of fear, out of necessity. And we know, of course, the Gemara tells us that there was a pagam. There was a something lacking in that experience. And that which was lacking was essentially made up on Purim. There was a kimu v'kibulu, kibulu masha, kimu masha kibulu kfar. They accepted the Torah this time out of ava, out of affection, out of exuberance. And therefore, again, also, Purim ki Yom Kippurim, 2 days of Kabbalah Satorah. But again, the image of Yom Kippurim being a day of awe and fear, and Purim being a day of simcha. Now, which of those 2 days would you assume are on a more elevated level, on a more heightened level? The Mishnah tells us, the Gemara tells us, the end of Maseches Tanis, that it's in fact Yom Kippurim. That's the day we were given the Torah. It doesn't say anything about Purim, that the Yom Kippurim was the happiest day of the year because we received the Torah. Apparently, the Pashtus of the Mishnah of the Gemara is that the happiness of accepting the Torah out of Yira was greater than the happiness of accepting the Torah in Purim. But other people seem to disagree. There's a very famous idea by Reb Dessler that the Kabbalah HaTorah of Purim is even greater than the Kabbalah HaTorah of Yom Kippurim. But again, Purim ki Yom Kippurim, either A, because of this idea of Chatzil Hashem Chatzil Chem, or B, because there's a hashvah, there's an equivalency, because of, again, the acceptance of the Torah. One part of it was Meira, one part of it is Me'avam. And those people, as I said, Reb Dessler and others, that believe that Purim might even be at a higher level of Yom Kippurim, is because we always believe that the more elevated emotion is that of Ava. The Rambam describes the idea, the relation between Ava and Yira. The Ramban also describes that a person really wants to do something, they do something out of Ava. Yira is like telling a kid, you know, either you do, or you can think back to all the lines that Rabbi Stalman and I use on our young children, other people use on their kids, either you do X, Y, and Z, or fill in the blank. Depending on how old your kids are, it was taking away a doll. Nowadays, it's taking away an Xbox. Now we're taking, like, right? That's not exactly the level you want your kids to be on, right? And the Rambam says that the whole idea of Yira is to some degree that. To some degree, sort of like, well, you need to tell a kid, so you sort of use like a Yira-based approach. But really, if you're like an elevated spirit, you don't need it. No one needs to be threatened. No one needs to sort of feel this heaviness. Things are sort of done out of an Ava. You don't really need Tzchar. But, and therefore, you can understand in a way a Purim in this equation, the Kabbalah HaTorah Purim, might even be on a more elevated level. There's another dimension as well. Not something that I ever saw in Sfarim, but something again that I was reflecting on today, that both the Kabbalah HaTorah of Yom Kippurim versus Purim, as well as the process of tshuva of Yom Kippurim and Purim as well, that both of these days are days of, as I said, Kabbalah HaTorah, and they're also days of transformation. They're also days of tshuva, they're days of change, they're days of awakening. Both of these days have a commonality. The Kabbalah HaTorah, and closely linked to the Kabbalah HaTorah, is repentance, tshuva, and change. But there is a fundamental difference between the two of them. There's a fundamental difference between the tshuva and Kabbalah HaTorah of Yom Kippurim versus the tshuva and Kabbalah HaTorah of Purim. What exactly is the fundamental difference? Obviously, Yira versus Ava, Ava versus Yira. But what else seems to be fundamentally different between the two? And the answer would seem to be that the nature of the process of each one of these days is different. How would you define the process of Kabbalah Satorah of Yom Kippur and the tshuva that we experience Yom Kippurim?
10 days leading up to it.
More than that. It's an entire process. If you think about Kabbalah Satorah of Yom Kippurim, it's a process that really began with almost Moshe Rabbeinu's directive to the nation, through the Geula Mitzrayim, through the coming of Har Sinai, through the preparation of the Shlosh Yemei Hagvalah, through the 40 days. Everything was leading up to the moment of Yom Kippurim, where the Torah itself was brought down. And almost though one can say that, chasram, not as a criticism, it was almost too long of a process. The people couldn't wait. The people got anxious. The people were waiting. The moment almost became eclipsed. And that, of course, almost a religious immaturity is what led to Chet Egel. But it was a process of Kabbalah Satorah. And similar to the process of Kabbalah Satorah is the process of Tshuva leading up to Yom Kippur. It's a process that really goes the entire year. It intensifies the beginning of Elul. It even further intensifies the Seretz Mechuva. It intensifies at every point throughout Yom Kippurim until Ne'ilah, where sort of 40 days from the beginning of that, so we stand sort of trying to get ourselves through the Shari Shemayim. It's a process of tshuva again that is slow, measured, steady, reflective. It's not based on sort of overnight change, but it's based on a process of change. In the same way that the process of Kabbalah Satorah of Yom Kippurim was very much a gradual process and a meaningful process. Purim is just the opposite. Purim is v'nafochu, in every way possible. The mitzvahs were something that were given immediately. The Kabbalah Satorah was something which was done almost with this energetic, effusive, immediate, spontaneous spirit. And you say, hey, we're going to do it. We're not going to think about it. We're not going to be worried about it. But we're going to be mekabel the Torah. And the process of tshuva as well. If a person gets a sense about what the community in Shushan was like, we're not speaking about people who are tzaddikim gemurim. No offense. You know, people who the Gemara tells us their sin was sitting in the suit of Achashverosh. People that were moved to an immediate change over the course of a few days of fasting. The immediate v'nafochu of the process of overturning the gzeirah of Achashverosh, the gzeirah of Haman. The whole thing was this very sort of immediate process. The tshuva, the change, the transformation of Yom Kippur or Purim, very much was this very intense process of change that person goes through. Purim ki Yom Kippurim is these two different dimensions. A slow, steady process of Kabbalah Satorah and Tshuva versus something that's much more energetic, effusive, spontaneous, immediate. And the reality is that both in the Rambam and in the Gemara, let's just take Tshuva for example, both of these elements are found in the Rishonim. How so? Where do we have sort of both of these elements that are found of tshuva? So most famously, a line that appears in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah in two places, Yesh kono olamo b'sha'achas, there are people who, in a second, their life is different. In a moment, their life is different. And Yesh kono olamo, they're those people that it takes a process of many days and many, many years as far as that change. There's a line in the Gemara brought down by the Rambam, that a person could be a chote his entire life, but if the last day of his life I can do tshuva, this sort of like immediate spirit that comes over me, this immediate change, and then of course his whole life beforehand is forgiven. That's not a process of tshuva, that's an immediate tshuva. The Rambam's description that a person can do tshuva and then miyad, like immediately I'm like a new person. I'm an ish acher. I forgot my old identity. It's not necessarily a process. There's an immediacy to it. On the other hand, you have both in the Rambam and other places as well, sort of the tshuva of Yom Kippurim. There's a position by Rabbeinu Yonah, a position by the Mabit, and it's also implied in the Rambam and other places as well, that it's not an all or nothing proposition. Immediately I wake up. No, but every sort of step over the course of a lifetime, over the course of an entire process is meaningful. Okay, so for today and this year, I think for all of us, myself, I'm 42 years old. So I started thinking about the idea of tshuva when I was, let's say, 15 years old. So 27 years of frustration in trying to change who I am. And I think for most of us, there are probably moments in our life, okay, I'm a new person, that's it. That's it. I'm going to go through these 27 things. I'm a new person. I'm a new husband. Alana keeps on waiting. I'm a new father. I'm a new this. And you keep on sort of waiting for that. And it's sort of in the maturity of youth, there's the frustration when it doesn't happen. You find yourself, you know, I sort of like am who I am. I'm sort of stuck a little bit in who I am. But you know what? I can probably change like this one thing over the course of the next 2 years. And then in the next 2 years, I can probably change this one thing. And that's also implied, sort of that process of tshuva as well. That's the Purim Ki Yom Kippurim that's described. Now, I was sort of thinking, sort of, how is it possible that both are true? Right? I guess if we would ask anybody here, people here are sophisticated, right? Immediate change really doesn't work. And the Rambam probably knew that. And the Gemara probably knows that. What's the value of like immediate, sudden change to change a person's life around, where it almost speaks very little to a person's future towards a long process, a thoughtful process? How is it possible to be both a person that you're a sort of a Yom Kippurim Jew, working on yourself, a process, steady, a culmination of that process, and also sort of Purim, the exuberance of change in Purim, the exuberance of a Nahafochu? Like, how is it possible to be both? Are we just essentially establishing two different models of change for two different people, two different types of DNAs? There are people in the world, and I say Nuti and Jeff are people like this. It's sort of a slow, steady race. And there are people in the world, there's a certain, you know, exuberance about them. And what the Gemara and the Rambam are doing are establishing both possibilities. Or is it probably true that maybe both models, both paradigms, can maybe exist in the same person? Sort of a steady change and also a dramatic change. A sense of a process and also a sense of v'nafochu, that things are totally different in my life. How's it possible to be mekayim both of those things in a way that would make Purim k'yom kippurim? It's not two different things, but there's one entity. There's one synthesis between these two different sides. I was sort of thinking a little bit today, as I was just even pulling in, sort of thinking about what Ben-Gurion must have experienced 48, so whatever that now is, my calculations, I guess 66 years ago, right? And probably a feeling of this having been a dream of a nation for how long? You know, however long you want to say it. 3,000 years, 2,000 years, 1,000 years, 30 years, whatever the Balfour Declaration was, at the very least the 3 years beforehand. And when they finally put pen to paper and signed his name, it must have almost felt like this unbelievable, oh my goodness, right? It's done. You know, there's a state, there's a reality, right? And with all sort of the decades and generations and thousands of years beforehand, at that moment, sort of that new reality must have been overwhelming. I mean, it's overwhelming for me every time I think about it. It's overwhelming every time you hear the words. It's overwhelming every time you sort of think about reclaiming the old city. It was a dream for those 19 years of coming back. And when it finally happened and you heard sort of Goren, and it's almost like this sort of like immediate change in a person's life. I think to some degree tshuva is the same way as well. Tshuva that's meaningful comes as a process that's thoughtful, that's meaningful, that requires growth, requires reflection, requires a constant avoda. And then one day all of a sudden you wake up and you realize, you know what, I'm truly a different person than perhaps I was 10 years ago. I'm a better husband, I'm a better father, I'm sort of an ish acher, the way the Rambam describes. I'm not the same person anymore. The Rambam describes that you look back on your previous self and you don't almost like not recognize that person. Yeah, it's almost wow, I've accomplished something, I've done something, v'nafochu, there's been a turnaround in my life. And when you sort of finally get to almost like a peak, almost like a crescendo, where you can look back on your life, it's a long process, but sometimes that feeling, that emotion feels like v'nafochu, feels like almost a turnaround. So while it may be again that the model of tshuva of Yom Kippurim, the model of tshuva of Purim, might be speaking about two different people, what's much more meaningful as far as this image of Purim Ki Yom Kippurim is really the synthesis of that in our life. Something that again feels steady, worked upon, but for us to still feel, both when it comes to Kabbalah Satorah and also the Maisa Tshuva, sort of the exuberance and the newness of what the process of Avodah has brought upon us. And hopefully all of us in Purim feels that. I know often when people come to my house in Purim, I don't wear a kilt, but I do try to look for the most absolutely ridiculous costume every year. I don't know why I get some pleasure in this in my 40s already, dressing up like some, I don't know. I say it's for my children. It's probably not for my children only, but, you know, people come over and there's this sort of this incredible feeling of closeness, incredible feeling of a community, incredible feeling of achdus. It also feels like an awakening of sorts. Entire experience of Purim and the tshuva of Purim, the Kabbalah Torah feels like an awakening, and probably much more so because it's coming on the heels of real connections and real avodah, real growth. Hopefully all of us can be mekayim, can fulfill both of those sides, and truly have an experience both on Purim and Yom Kippurim of connecting the two and creating one very beautiful synthesis between the various sides of our religious personality. Thank you, everyone.